Welcome to the Bundesliga Show. I'm Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag, and I'm joined by John Hartley of the Bundesliga World Blog. John, welcome. And did you enjoy the first weekend of the Bundesliga action after the new year?
Yeah, I really did. It's always a bit of a strange one, is it, the first game back after the winter break? But it didn't fail to disappoint. And there's always lots of topsy-turvy results, and this year was no different, really, was it?
Yeah, I think there's an element of almost like new season about it. I mean, certainly in England, we're used to perhaps, you know, the early season results being slightly sort of inconsistent to what you'd expect the rest of the season to be. And maybe because of this additional break that they have, well, it's 4 weeks, in fact, traditionally it's more like 6 weeks, isn't it? Maybe there is a sort of element of sort of like back to school about the whole thing. So lots of very interesting results, and what we'll do is we'll start with the big one, and that's Bayer Leverkusen looking to unsettle Borussia Dortmund by forcing a second straight defeat on the league leaders last Friday at the Bayer Arena. Now, John, you and I watched the game in a pub, and for a while we thought that perhaps Jurgen Klopp's men would be carried away by their own reflection somewhat. Lots of possession football, but not much end product. But suddenly, within minutes, Dortmund sprung into life, and thanks to the intervention of Kevin Grosskreutz, or Big Kev, as we like to call him, he scored two goals and contributed to a third. And what was a 3-1 win over Bayer Leverkusen, thereby extending their lead. And it was a fantastic game.
It really was a fantastic game. I was quite impressed by Dortmund. You know, we were having these doubts. Could they take it on another level? Could they keep it on this fantastic run of at the top of the table? And the simple answer is yes, they can. And all my doubts, probably within the first, I don't know, the first quarter of an hour, were laid to rest. They were playing that beautiful football, and there was the concern that it wouldn't actually, you know, end in anything. But As you say, they sort of wore them down, and you know, Leverkusen just couldn't take it anymore. They made a couple of blunders, and Dortmund were there to rightly punish them. And I think it was, well, I thought it was the right result all around.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how Dortmund, you know, you get a feeling when a team are going to win or going to do well in a season, or when they're going to win a title, when, you know, at various stages of the season, one more than one player rises to the fore at a particular moment to deliver. And I think that was Kevin Grosskreutz's performance, really. He was superb, and he was just when there was a moment when you thought, well, will they be able to see this one through? You know, he really rose to the occasion in a way that, you know, that Arjen Robben did, for instance, last year at Bayern, when he just suddenly just like rose up and went, right, I'm dealing with this. And he took the season by the scruff of the neck. This could be a moment for Grosskreutz. It could be just one game, or it could be for the rest of the season that he's like that. But the important thing is that just when they needed that extra oomph to see themselves through to the end of the game, to get that result, they did it. And Goetze as well was outstanding. And the story is that he was substituted because Klopp was afraid that they might go too hard into him, because he was not taking the mickey exactly, but he was, you know, he was a bit good.
Well, absolutely. And we talked last week about what would be the surprise from Dortmund, and, you know, what would Klopp have in his locker. Well, the simple answer is just a bunch of players who were already there, and who are fantastic footballers, and they just proved once again how great they are. I mean, basically, Grosskreutz was in Goetze's position, and that, you know, you couldn't really tell the difference. He was as great as Goetze is there. Goetze moved into Kagawa's position. He was as great as Kagawa is. So, you know, it's a no-win situation for any of the opponents, because, you know, Dortmund have got it all covered. So
great. You know. It's worth pointing out that Jurgen Klopp started with the young Pole, Robert Lewandowski, up front with Grosskreutz and Goetze and Błaszczykowski sort of behind. No Lucas Barrios. I think he was late back from training from the winter break after. I think he might have got a virus. I think he was late back from training. I saw a report on Welt, I think it was, who said he was late. So it's possible that that was the reason why he didn't start the game. But it, I think Lewandowski did okay. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, I thought he had a fantastic game. I mean, you know, he was holding the ball up well. You know, he's dropping back from time to time and distributing. And you know, just for Grosskreutz's second goal, a marvellous flick on, and you know, Grosskreutz did the damage. So you know, we were in the pub and we're watching the game. We're going, oh my god, you know, there he is. It's going to be Lewandowski that's going to be the surprise. And he was a surprise. I thought he played fantastically well. And then, you know, all these other little changes as well in the team was enough to see them through, and quite handsomely. I thought that that he had a great game, Lewandowski. And you know, we were talking about teams taking the mick. Well, you know, he may have taken off Mario Götze, but then he brought on Lucas Barrios as well. So you know, he might not have scored, but there's an element in there of Jurgen Klopp going, well, I'm going to take off you know, Mario Götze because this is just getting silly, but by the way, I'll just bring on my top scorer.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not letting off or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get you know, we're not going to let you go lightly here. And Barrios nearly scored himself. And
indeed.
So a fantastic performance all round from Dortmund.
Yeah. A few words about Leverkusen, though. I think it's only fair. They would have been, I'd imagine, thoroughly dispirited after that defeat. And you know, perhaps the time now is for them to focus on that Champions League spot. Put as much pressure on Dortmund in the event that Dortmund, you know, collapse. I genuinely think Dortmund, it's theirs to lose, really, isn't it? They need to have some kind of massive collapse in confidence to give it up now. But maybe work on integrating that. They've got a fantastic forward line. They've got so much choice up front. They've got Sam, and they've got Dyrdek and Kiesling and Helmes, you know, but they've also got Ballack to bring in and integrate. So maybe they just need to work on a bit of squad integration and just work on keep getting the results in as much as possible and hope that something goes wrong at Dortmund.
I think that with Leverkusen, you have this situation now that they just know, like, okay, we've played Dortmund now, we don't have to worry about that. The league leaders can go and do what they want. We've got to concentrate on what we're doing. And, you know, they've got other teams to play, teams that aren't half as good as Dortmund are. So I can't see that this is going to be... It might have been dispiriting for them, but they've got to take the confidence that they're a great team, a very good team, and probably a team, you know, worthy to be in the Champions League. So they've got plenty to play for, you know. Get that game against Dortmund out of your mind and move on and move up.
That's a very good point. They do now. They don't have to worry about that. They can just focus on the rest. And there's plenty of fun for them to have and plenty of points for them to win. But so much for them. Let's turn our attention to the other title contenders, if we can actually describe them as that. Mainz falling away after a disappointing 1-0 defeat to Stuttgart, who managed to keep a clean sheet. Bayern Munich couldn't muster a second goal against Wolfsburg, despite being awarded a penalty. In fact, they had to rely on the heroics of their young keeper Thomas Kraft to keep Grafitsch's spot kick out. But John, after the game, Jürgen Robben conceded the title to Dortmund. Do you think he's serious, or do you think he's bought a copy of Mind Games for Dummies?
Well, to be honest, I think that's all they can do now. They almost have to concede it. I mean, the gap is huge. And it's going to take something really, really special for Bayern Munich to pull this off. A couple of weeks, you know, before the winter break, you might have been able to see it, but they really are aiming for that second spot now, I think. And I think that Iron Robin's right. I don't think he's trying to play mind games at all. They need to be in the Champions League, and you know, so second spot will do that quite comfortably, because they'll qualify, and you know, they'll just be looking at that. As we said before, before the winter break, my prediction is that they'll come second and they'll win the Pokal, and I'll stick by that, I think.
Yeah, 16 points off the top, Bayern. So I mean, goodness, that's going to require. I mean, that just hasn't been done, and I mean, there's nothing to assume why it will be done. But only 4 points from second place, and they've got to have their eye on that. And they're a plenty good side. Franck Ribéry, a bit of an injury scare there. Looks like at first it was sort of, oh my God, look, his knee's falling off. He's going to be out for months, possibly years. Then it turns out that it wasn't as bad as all that, and it looks like you know, he's going to be fine. So that'll become as a good relief to to them, won't it?
Yeah, it will. And I think that what Bayern Munich have got to take from that game is that is more than they've got to look at themselves more than say Wolfsburg do, because Bayern Munich should have had that game wrapped up. And you know, it was really scrappy. I mean, I like games between those two clubs, because there's always something going to happen. You either get a blast of quality, you know, there was the 5-1 win.
5-1. From that goal from Graffiti,
yeah,
you can forget.
Exactly. At the beginning of the season, it was a great game between those two teams. Now, this one wasn't exactly a classic. It wasn't one for the purists, but it had so much in it. You know, the penalties. You know, I think that's a third Bayern player now to miss a penalty. Third different Bayern player. So, you know, there was that. There was the fact that Kraft was playing. You had goals disallowed for both teams. You know, it had loads in there, but quality wasn't necessarily something that he did have. With Kraft, I thought that he had generally had a good game. He had the odd moment of, well, I wouldn't say blind panic, but he had the worrying moment from time to time. But on the whole, he had a really good game. My only disappointment is with the penalty, because he was about 2 yards off his line. So, you know, how much he can actually take from that, I don't know, because, you know, the goalkeepers aren't supposed to be closing down the angle at penalties.
No, but, you know, I mean, the referee should have blown up then.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that'll be the way that Kraft will look at it. He'll say, well, I saved it, and that's the end of it. You know, that's what it'll look like. You know, it can only be a good thing. It might have been interesting to have seen what would have happened if the ref had blown up and said, right, no, retake it. But all of that leaves us with Hannover 96 in second place after their 3-0 win at Eintracht Frankfurt. Now, the home side had a whole bunch of injury problems. They had Ricardo Clark, a midfielder, playing at centre back, and goodness me, it showed. It could be said a routine win, but even that's a weird thing to say for a club like Hannover. We'll be discussing the rise of Hannover under coach Mirko Slomka in part two, which is coming up right after I have run through the remaining results from week 18. So here goes: Werder Bremen 2, Hoffenheim 1. First defeat for new coach Marco Pezzaioli. Nuremberg lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach 1-0. Morale boosting win there for Gladbach. St. Pauli 2, Freiburg 2, less said about that the better, eh, John? Schalke 0, Hamburg 1, Kaiserslautern 1, and Cologne 1. Alright then, let's take a break now, and we'll see you on the other side of this piece of music. So, we're back for part two, and we're going to have a quick chat, I think, John, about Hannover, who have been fantastic this season. A real surprise. We weren't expecting them to be this good. It's fair to say that much of their success is possibly down to the shortcomings of more traditional championship contenders. We spoke earlier about Bayern Munich. We spoke about Wolfsburg. We've spoken in the past about Hamburg and Schalke, and about how they're not really sort of, you know, doing it this season. Nevertheless, it would be churlish, I think, to try and to take too much away from what Hannover have achieved. And they're a really good side. So let's talk a little bit about them. Mirko Slomka, I think, is probably a good place to start, isn't he? A good manager, an obviously good manager, but perhaps not quite as celebrated as other managers of his sort of like vintage. He's only 43 years old, and yet you listen to people talk about Thomas Tuchel, and he's sort of like seen as you know, like the next Mourinho. But Slomka is only a few years older than he, and he's managed Schalke to the Champions League, I think, quarter final, and the Europa League or the UEFA Cup semi final, I think. So he's a manager of pedigree, you know, seems to have been around for a long time, and yet he's actually quite young.
Yeah, he's done a magnificent job. And, you know, you're talking about the clubs that he's been at the past, well, Schalke, and what he achieved with Schalke. And it was a good opportunity to blood himself into the league. And with Hannover, now, let's not forget, he took the club on in a really, really difficult situation. not only with league position, but with the death of Robert Enker as well. How difficult is that? I mean, many other managers would not have been able to handle that situation, but he's obviously brought those players together emotionally as well as on the football pitch, and they're commanding great results. And I think one of the keys with Slomka and with Hannover is that he's very much playing to their strengths. You know, they've been so good on the counter-attack this year that they're not going to play the possession football all the time, and they're not going to outplay teams, but he's focused on what they're really, really good at. And let's be fair, it's getting them results, and it's a fantastic story. I mean, Hannover, they couldn't have dreamt of this at the beginning of the season. At the first game after the winter break, that you're going to be in second place after the match day's finished. They would have laughed at you.
Yes, I mean, he's tactically, he's obviously a pragmatist. This possibly is why perhaps he doesn't have that same charisma, shall we say. I mean, I don't know what he's like as a personality, but certainly as his managerial footprint is quite modest in that respect, because he is a tactical pragmatist. He does what he needs to do with the players that he has to get results. Whereas your more charismatic figures they believe in playing a certain way, and so they lay themselves out to do that. And Slomka is clearly not that kind of guy. Interestingly, Joe was reading today that it looks like he's not signing an extension, or he's so far not signed a contract extension. I think he's due to go, or his contract is up in the summertime. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not what he has achieved here will set him instead for next year. Do you suppose he'll be back with a bigger club next year in the Bundesliga? Let's idly speculate.
Well, I think there was some idle speculation about whether or not he may turn up at Wolfsburg. I think that was part of the chats that have been going on. I mean, he's he sort of hasn't confirmed his future, and which is puts him in a personally in a really good position. But I do feel slightly sorry for the fans of Hannover, because they've got themselves this great coach. He's doing really well with them, and it could be back to square one very, very quickly. But I'm pleased that his stock is really quite high at the moment, because he's absolutely deserved it. Taking on some young players, some experienced players, the likes of Steve Cherundolo, he's an experienced player. You've got players like Sergio Pinto. I mean, you need somebody like that in your side to upset the opposition in the midfield, and he's been doing that all season. And as a result, he can mix things up.
But boy, can he play a pass though?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He's a superb footballer. Wonderful technique. Yeah. And tremendous vision. Really reads the game very well. Perfectly positioned as he is. I read Raphael Honigstein in a piece about Hannover, sort of like suggesting that Slomka's tactics are to sort of bypass the midfield because he knows it's quite weak, which wouldn't disagree with. But certainly when you've got a guy like Pinto in that kind of, shall we say, probably more advanced midfield role, he really is, he provides so much action. I think he's wonderful, wonderful player to watch. Another player who's wonderful to watch for Hannover is, of course, Didier Jakonen. Explosive player, pacey, again fine technique, and all action, and a really, really direct footballer who's benefiting from the more direct approach, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. He runs onto a ball, and if he puts his foot on it, you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to hit the back of the net. He's been absolutely fantastic. And as you say, that direct style really, really suits him. He likes the ball over the top for him to run onto, and the results are there to see. I mean, this team is a real hodgepodge of people, really. You've got young people like Konstantin Rausch as well, with these more experienced players, and then somebody like Jakonen and Abdullahi, that are coming in there. Sort of pretty unknowns. They're not big names at all, and for some reason this works, and all credit to him.
Abdullahi was an astute signing. I think they paid by Hannover standards, they paid quite a bit of money for him. nearly a million, I think around €1 million from Vålerenga, the Norwegian club. But he's scored 5 goals this season, and he scored a very good goal, albeit, you know, he made fairly short work of Ricardo Clark, it's got to be said, for the first goal in the match against Frankfurt. Poor old Ricardo Clark, because he didn't have a very good day at all. But I mean, again, you know, they're obviously very, very confident. And you know, when they're in that kind of mood, it's like you just can't miss, isn't it? Another player that's worth bringing, English listeners and Middlesbrough fans will know the name Emmanuel Pogatetz, and perhaps be slightly surprised that he's, you know, he's playing a full part in the defence of a team that's second in the Bundesliga, you know. But you know, the solid solid journeyman players. In truth be known, these are mostly journeymen.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that with Pogatetz as well, you know, that is actually a mark of how well Slonk has done, you know, because as we're saying about Emmanuel Pogatetz, it's like, I mean, he really wasn't a great player in the Premier League for Middlesbrough, and you know, I think that you could have considered his best days you know, well and truly gone when he made the move. But you know, to take a player like that and actually make them part of a solid defence is actually quite a talent, really, from Slonka, because you know, that they could have been letting in goals all over the place, but they're not. They've got it where it counts. You know, a lot of people say that the most successful teams are built from the back, and you know, in Hannover's case, that's absolutely true.
Mm. Yeah, well, you've got Pogatetz and you've got Schultz. Pogatetz is only 28. It's worth bearing in mind. So in centre back years, that's he should be at his peak. And Schultz, 27, Girondolo, you mentioned, and of course Roush, I think he's a fine player, and is you imagine, sadly for Hannover, is elsewhere. Bit of a curious situation at the back, though, John, with Fromlovich, who was sort of like made 17 appearances, and was he? I don't know the full story behind this. He wasn't playing. And they played Ron Robert Ziegler, the Manchester United loanee, instead. Not quite sure what the story was with that, but Ziegler had a fine game, and so again, no harm done. Any changes that Slomka seems to be making at the moment, and this is the way with confidence sides, is that any changes just seem to be slipping off the back. I suppose the only thing to slightly look out for, though, is that plus one goal difference. It doesn't, you know, you suspect that probably as the bigger clubs start to reassert themselves, that perhaps Hannover will slip back down the table. But looking ahead to their next fixture, they've got Schalke at home, which, you know, that's a game they can win, let's be honest.
Yeah, they can.
And Mirko Slomka, I'm sure, would be happy to do that. Then they've got to go to Leverkusen, then they've got to welcome Steve McLaren and Wolfsburg, they've got Bremen, got to go to the Weser Stadium. The next sort of, like, I mean, under normal circumstances, if this was a normal Bundesliga season, they'd look at those next four fixtures and think, crikey, when's the next point coming from, you know? But right now, the way they're playing, who knows?
All those are winnable. They really are winnable games.
Totally.
So,
absolutely.
You know, this next set of fixtures could really bed them in to being in the mix for the European places. Now, whether or not they'll hold Bayern Munich off, is another matter. There's definitely no guarantee that that's going to happen. But they could see themselves in and around the Champions League, in and around the Europa League places. Because also you've got to remember that other teams that you'd think would be vying for those kind of positions, the likes of your Hoffenheims, aren't doing it.
Well, they're in transition.
Yeah, exactly.
To use that particular example,
exactly.
But you're right, and others as well. Yeah, no, this is a season where the established names are misfiring slightly. So the opportunity is for the smaller clubs to come forward, make a bit of a name for themselves.
It's there for the taking.
Yeah, a few reputations to be restored, certainly in Slomka's cases. And all of those players that we've just talked about, apart from Roush, who's very young, but all those players we talked about, they'll have all gone through the system, and they'll have all, have maybe part of them would have thought, well, you know, I think I've missed the boat here. I think my chance has gone, my chance for the big time. Now, if they have this season, they qualify for the Europa League, then there may be opportunities for them, if not at Hannover, then elsewhere, perhaps for other clubs to resurrect their career. And they clearly seem to want to run through walls for Slomka. So hopefully they'll keep it together and it'll be a legendary season for Hannover. I think what we'll do is we'll knock it on the head there, though, John. That was great at Hanover chat. And what we'll do is we'll take a quick pause, figuratively speaking, finish off the dregs of our cold tea, and be back for part three, where we will have a look at the fixtures to come in the next weekend of the Bundesliga. Welcome back, and welcome to part three. So, John, I think we should wrap things up. We'll have a quick look ahead to the excitement of the next weekend of the Bundesliga. I'll just quickly go through the fixtures that we've got coming up, starting with Friday, Hamburg v Frankfurt. And then on Saturday, we've got the fixtures between Hannover and Schalke, Dortmund and Stuttgart, Mainz and Wolfsburg, Freiburg and Nuremberg, Bayern Munich and Kaiserslautern. And the early evening fixture is Cologne versus Werder Bremen. On the Sunday, we've got Gladbach playing Leverkusen and Hoffenheim are playing St. Pauli. What we're going to do then, I think we'll have a little bit of fun. I've chosen six of those fixtures that I would like us to predict the winner, so that I can then add it to my little betting slip tomorrow morning to have my little bit of fun for the weekend. So the
I hope we're going to split the, you know, divvy this up if it comes good.
Well, the way I see it, it's my money.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm looking at it. Yeah, you know, it's
a, you can buy me a pint next time.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Okay. So what should we have then? We'll start with Hannover versus Schalke. Hannover, we've just spent the last 10 minutes talking about Hannover, so we know all about them. Let's not dwell too much on them. Now, obviously, Mirko Slomka has got is playing his old club, Schalke, who dismissed him after a poor run of form, despite all that good work that he did. What do you think is going to happen there, John?
Well, I'd like to say, having, as you say, just spoken for 10 minutes about Hannover, that they're actually going to go on and win this game. Otherwise, it kind of leaves us a little bit flat, doesn't it?
Like, about, you know, all this good stuff, but they're going to lose.
Yeah. So, on that note, I'm going to say Hannover.
I think I'm
going
to have to go with you there. I mean, they're at home, obviously. Schalke played okay. I think they played okay, apparently, against that. I didn't really see.
I wasn't impressed. I really wasn't impressed. I thought that they were. It was sort of really turning the clock back stuff, and they were a bit ropey, to be honest. I thought Schalke, and yeah, if they can get it together, then it might be a different story. But if they're still off the boil, then Hannover, I think, are going to take that one. So I'm gonna go for
it's
Hannover.
It's clearly a game that Schalke can win. Clearly a game with the players that they have, but then they can clearly win an awful lot more games that they just simply haven't won. So on that basis, with the Hannover in the form that they're in, I'm going to go for Hannover as well. This one
at Hannover, yep. You know, it's not the Feltins, so at Hannover.
Tick. The next one up I've chosen is Borussia Dortmund versus Stuttgart. Now Stuttgart beat Mainz, which we think is probably quite an impressive achievement, although do we truly know what's happening with Mainz at the moment? Maybe they're going off the boil. But a clean sheet for Bruno Labbadia's men, which is a bit of a novelty. So they've managed to find some form, but they've got to go to the Westfalen and they've got to beat the runaway leaders or try and get points off of runaway leaders. I don't know. I don't think that that's going to be anything other than a home win. What do you reckon?
A home banker, I'm going to say. You know, the poor Bruno is just like he's gotten back. He's you know, he's got his first win in the Bundesliga with the club, and you know, straight back down to earth for you, Bruno. I'm afraid.
I don't know whether it'll be a turkey shoot though. I've got some faith that Labbadia has instilled some discipline into that defence. So I don't think we're in for another five.
No.
I think those days, hopefully for Stuttgart, will be behind them. But yeah, it's difficult to see beyond a home win there. So we're both going to go for two. So two home wins so far. The next fixture is the aforementioned Mainz, who are playing Wolfsburg. I think this is an intriguing fixture because both teams are in a bit of flux, I think, at the moment. Mainz, finally, after having lost that unbeaten record, as they did, they've kind of wobbled. And now they're wobbling quite seriously, and I'm intrigued to see how Tuchel deals with this situation and whether or not he can get them back to winning ways before they, you know, they are in danger conceivably of slipping out of the picture altogether, you know, in terms of European qualification. Conversely, Wolfsburg, under Steve McLaren, minus Edin Dzeko, they had to take some heart from that point against Bayern, despite the circumstances. Are they on the way up? John?
Well, these are two really unmovable forces in the sense that Mainz haven't drawn a game so far, and Wolfsburg have drawn the last seven. So they are sort of on course to I think it's equal the record of consecutive draws in the Bundesliga. Well, what's going to happen here?
What kind of a record is that? Who wants that record?
Know.
The most draws ever.
We really have to pick a winner in this one, though.
Yeah,
so don't
we could pick a draw. You could pick a draw if you want to. I mean, I said at the top of this that we'd go for the winner. But, of course, a draw is a very, very likely result. So if you want to go for a draw, pick a draw.
Well, it's only a likely draw for Wolfsburg. You know, Mainz don't do draws. So, you know, where do you go with this? You know, let me see. I mean, Mainz are on home turf, I was impressed with some of their play against Stuttgart, but I don't know. I've got a feeling Wolfsburg are going to do this. I don't know why. This is going to be my irrational pick for the week, I think. I'm going to go with Wolfsburg because they showed a little bit of spirit against Bayern, and hopefully that little bit of spirit will extend to Mainz. But I don't think it's definitely not going to be easy, but Mainz just aren't taking their opportunities. They had plenty against Stuttgart, but they didn't take them.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to agree with you again, just simply because I don't, you know, I just think it's good radio to be contrary, but I think Wolfsburg are also going to win this one. And for no other reason other than the fact that I think they really have to. I just think they have to. And I think that that's why they will. I think they're just going to... They need this result really badly in order to kickstart the second half of their season. They've got a good point against Bayern. They now need to build on it by going to Mainz and coming back from Bruchweg with 3 points.
There's something else in there as well. Like one of Wolfsburg's biggest embarrassments this season has been the fact that they were 2 goals up against Mainz and then lost 3-2. Was it 3-2? Yeah, they lost 3-2, I think. This is straight off the top of my head, so it could have been another score completely. But they ran into a lead and then they lost the game. So that was sort of the point where everybody sort of started laughing at Wolfsburg.
Indeed.
And so you know they really need to turn this one around. So starting with Mainz.
Yeah, I have a feeling it might have been 4-3. I think it could have even have been worse than that. It might have been 3-0.
I think that
and
you
then
could
4-3,
be right there.
Extraordinary result. Moving on then, Bayern Munich versus Kaiserslautern. Did you see the Kaiserslautern game? Did you see?
Yeah, I did see part of it.
Oh dear, poor Rodney. I mean, you know, I deliberately withheld from saying Rodney, you plonker, on my blog roundup last week. But
I said insert your own only fools and horses
indeed,
joke here.
Shocker, an absolute shocker. I would imagine that Lakic is probably missing if his suspension begins, because he was obviously sent off for raising his hand to Eichner, I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
So I think that you can only really look to Munich to Bayern for a win here at the Allianz.
Yeah, you do. Their record at the Allianz is fantastic in the league. That I think is another home bank. You know, that Kaiserslautern did beat them on the Betzenberg earlier in the season, but I really can't see a repeat performance.
Yeah, no, I mean you're absolutely right. There was they did get that great home result, but I think a lot of time. I thought there were lots changed between now and then. Moving on to the last game for Saturday, and we've got one more to come for Sunday, and that's Cologne versus Werder Bremen. This is another intriguing fixture. I'm not quite certain what Cologne's swine flu is. I'm not quite sure what the update is with that is. But I thought that obviously they I thought they were disappointed probably to have got a point against Kaiserslautern. I think Kaiserslautern were there for the taking last week. a Bremen buoyed by a win, and are they back? Are they back? You know, back in the Pizarro scored, Frink's back in action.
Cracking goal,
wasn't
as well,
it? Just it was a gorgeous goal. Ooh. And a last minute goal as well, which of course will give Thomas Schaaf great heart, you know, for the commitment for his players. This has got a way win written on it for me.
I've got draw.
Oh,
yeah!
Finally, we have a disagreement.
But that's I'm going to go for draw.
I can see a draw. I can see it being a draw. I can definitely see it being a draw. But I'm going for the win.
Yeah, you go for the win. But I want it noted that if it is a draw, we'll discuss it next week. If it wasn't, we'll just completely forget about it. All right.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right, it's fine. You've gone for the draw. And I'm going for the win for Werder Bremen, obviously. And that leads us to our final result, which is Borussia Mönchengladbach versus Bayer Leverkusen. Borussia Mönchengladbach bottom of the table. Bayer Leverkusen are fourth in the table. Come on then, John. Who's going to win this one?
It should be a away win. And that is what my pick will be. It will be an away win. But you know, there will be a couple of sleepless nights for the Bayer Leverkusen players between now and the time that they end up at the Borussia Park, because they will be remembering that tumultuous game that they had on match day two.
Yes.
And I don't think that there's going to be a repeat. I actually thought the Gladbach were a bit lucky against Nuremberg at the weekend, but all credit to them for getting the result. I think that getting two wins on the bounce, especially when Bayer Leverkusen are the team that they're up against, is a little bit too much of an ask. But as I say, there's going to be a couple of sleepless nights for Jupp Heynckes in between times. And
I think if you like to go for a slightly longer odds, you could reason with yourself to say that Gladbach, although they were fortunate against Nuremberg, did get the result that will produce confidence. They've got a new defence there, haven't they? They've got Nordfeld from Arsenal, and they've got Stranzl from Spartak Moscow, and the new guy Mike Hanker from Hanover up front. They've reshaped things. They're back. Bayer Leverkusen maybe a bit rocky. It's on the cards, but it would be an upset. So I think if you're going with your head, you've got to go away win, and I'm going to go away win because I'm going with my head. But if you were interested in a side bet, you might want to have a go at Gladbach to win that one.
Are you encouraging the listeners to bet?
No, not at all. Not at all. I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. Otherwise, we'd have we'd have an affiliate scheme with a bookmaker, and we don't. So
no, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm actually quite serious about that. Right. Okay. I think that should be it. I think we should stop because we've gone on for quite a while, and we hope you enjoyed it. So, well, before we rush down to the bookies, there's just enough time for us to say cheerio. And if you want to contact the show, you can email us at bundesligashow@footballfairground.com. I think our preferred method of communication is via Twitter. I'm Bundesbag, John is Bundesliga World. We both have blogs. John's blog post is bundesligaworld.blogspot.com, and mine is bundesbag.com. So please engage with us and interact with us in any of those forums that you choose. Until next time, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.